This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, 7:46 on the clock. I'm Melissa Idris with Julian Ng, taking a look at the business headlines of the day. Before we look at what's happening on the local corporate scene, let me tell you what's coming up on The Breakfast Grill. Tan Chung Han is standing by to speak to Datuk Mazlin Mohamed Junid, the CEO of Endra Group Berhad. Now, just some background about Endra. They are a property investment company that in the past couple of years have been trying to diversify into the oil and gas space. Now, they started as Orlando Holdings in 1992. Then they changed their name to Formis, and then they changed their name again to Perdurin, which I think most of us remember Perdurin. And then once again in 2015, changed their name to Endra. Surprisingly, they've had a remarkable final 3 months of 2016. Net income rose 115% on year, really due to actually almost equal contribution from property and oil and gas. So I'm really curious to know about their forays into this, because both sectors have been facing unique challenges.
More challenging on the oil and gas space, and they're going that opposite direction, that they're going contra traffic, right?
Exactly.
Against the traffic by going into the oil and gas space. So that's very interesting. And the history of changes in identities also very interesting to me, because it suggests a company that has got extreme lack of focus.
Yeah, so constantly changing names, constantly changing, I think, the core business. But let's find out more with Datuk Mazlin Mohamed Junid, CEO of Endra Group. Interesting conversation I expect to be had on The Breakfast Grill today, coming up in about 15 minutes. But looking at the local corporate scene or the local business pages today, we've got Sime Darby. Their second quarter net profit more than doubled from a year ago, thanks to improved production and higher prices of palm oil. So looking at the profit, Sime Darby's profit rose 644 million ringgit for the quarter ended December. Compare that to a year ago, it was at 285 million ringgit.
So if you look at palm oil prices at the start of the year, last year actually, it's, it was trading at about 2,300 ringgit per ton. And today, it's very much higher at 3,000, almost 3,300 ringgit, almost a 1,000 ringgit jump. And I think this movement has been exaggerated by the weakness of the ringgit, because if you look at the CPO price in US dollar, it has been trending up as well. And if global traders traded palm oil in US dollar, then the conversion back to ringgit would be much more exaggerated. But of course, Melissa, the big news on Sime Darby is their restructuring, is their demerger process.
Exactly. So Sime Darby says they want to list their plantation and property arms by early 2018. In fact, I believe it was earlier last month where Sime Darby announced that they wanted to spin off these businesses. Essentially, they will see now three different listed entities. Trading and logistics will remain under Sime Darby. But here's Tan Sri Mohamed Baki Saleh, the group CEO of Sime Darby, explaining how Sime Darby will distribute the shares in the two resulting companies to existing shareholders.
In the case of Sime Darby today, we decided that in the best interest of shareholders to do the distribution in specie or in kind by offering them the shares of Sime Darby Berhad in Sime Darby Plantation and Sime Darby Property. Direct transfer of our ownership in the same proportion. So if you have a shareholder in Sime Darby Berhad with 1% shareholding, that same shareholder will get 1% in Sime Darby Property Berhad as well as Sime Darby Plantation Berhad.
That was Tan Sri Mohamed Baki Saleh, Group CEO of Sime Darby. He also said yesterday that the demerger may be implemented either together or at separate times. It depends on whether the businesses are ready, whether they're in compliance with the regulatory requirements.
So if you were a shareholder of Sime Darby before and you didn't know what the value of the plantation and property divisions were, this will be a very good chance to what investors would call unlock value. That means if you bought into Sime Darby, not only will you hold the Sime Darby shares, but you will also hold Sime Darby Motors and Sime Darby, property and plantation separately. So you would end up with three companies, Sime Darby, the Motors division and the Property division, and you will be able to see all these stocks trading in the stock market which will allow investors to value those said stocks. And if you feel very positively about Plantation, then it's a benefit to you because you have that realization of value rather than it being stuck under the conglomerate status of Sime Darby.
Okay, so I just need to understand here. So in 2007, if I'm not mistaken, Sime Darby decided to consolidate all its business under one big umbrella, right?
And the investment bank involved in that one made a lot of money out of that. And I'm sure these guys, these investment banks are going to be in charge of this deal would
Making more money. Yeah. Exactly. So, okay, in 10 years ago, Sime Darby decided to consolidate and put in and become the conglomerate that it is. And now, 10 years down the road, they're deciding to break up again. So for me, I'm trying to understand the logic. Was there synergy at that point in time 10 years ago? And why is there no, I mean, why break up now? Was the consolidation necessary?
Yeah, I think at that time, the synergy existed between its plantation and property divisions because you can use disused land to develop property. For example, in Sime UEP in Subang Jaya, that's a mega development for Sime Darby. But then they became a mega plantation company on the behest of investment bankers and people desiring things that are very big. Size matters. For some reason, they created this mega plantation company that has not over the years been very beneficial for Sime Darby, because if you look at the share price performance of Sime Darby, and I think that is the clearest indication of whether investors favor your restructuring or not. Sime Darby has lost money on average over the last 10 years since the restructuring compared to KLCI, which has returned you 7 to 8% per annum over the last 10 years. So now they're just undoing everything,
right.
Which hopefully will give investors some benefit in terms of making money out of their Sime Darby holdings.
Okay, I wonder whether, this is too little too late or if the timing is correct. I mean, it's a good move perhaps for unlocking value.
To answer your question directly, Melissa, it feels like There was no direction in it. There was no significant strategic or financial purpose to it. But it feels like it's just something to do. Mm. And right now, that this restructuring move could be a lot more relevant for shareholders and for investors because they stand a chance of at least making money out of some of their units and selling units that they don't really like. And also, talking about contributions and profits, just going back to Sime Darby's profits, Battersea Power Station, remember that mega project in London, mm-hmm. Provided Sime Darby with its maiden contribution with 137 million profits ringgit, up 61% from a year ago. And if you're thinking of buying an apartment over there in London, studio apartments would cost you between 1.1 to 1.5 million pounds.
Oh my God.
And a one bed flat between 600 to 1.8 million pounds. So if you have some money in your bank,
start saving now.
Yes.
To be able to afford a studio apartment in Battersea. There you go. Sime Darby owns a 40% stake in the Battersea project, of course. But apart from Sime Darby, we also have UMW on our radar this morning after they announced a pre-tax loss of 2.2 billion ringgit for the financial year ended 2016. Compare that in the year before, in 2015, they had a pre-tax profit of 270 million. So what happened with UMW? I'm guessing this is oil and gas?
And also the motor sector, because they, according to Starbiz, which put them on the front page today, they had to tick in about 1.2 billion of impairment charges. About 780 million of that was from the oil and gas sector, and another 382 million from the motor sector, mm-hmm. which we all know has the total industry volume of the auto sector has been dwindling for a good part of this year. Sentiment is not good. Consumers are tightening their belts, not buying a lot more cars than the previous years.
Right. And similarly to Sime, UMW as well has been going to some destructuring, some restructuring.
I like that word, destructuring.
demerge and restructuring together becomes destructuring. Of course, UMW Oil and Gas now demerging from UMW Holdings, the parent company. Well, moving on to, of course, Saudi Aramco. Good news there, perhaps on the front of the rapid project in Pengerang, Johor. Saudi Aramco, the state oil company of Saudi Arabia, they will invest $7 billion into the rapid project. That works out to be about 31 billion ringgit for us here in Malaysia.
There were some concerns that this project would be called off and it would have been a big blow to both Rapid and Pengerang. When we spoke to the CEO of Petronas Chemicals a few days ago on the back of their results, they also expressed confidence that the Rapid project would go ahead. And I think this $7 billion investment is a huge booster to the entire project. I think it's a very good deal for Malaysia. And, you know, the Saudi King is making a tour of around the world. Is this ahead of the Saudi Aramco IPO, which is going to be the biggest company in the world?
I don't know, but he's traveling with over 1,500 person entourage through Asia for a month-long tour. He's brought his own escalator and his two private cars. But
how does that work? How do you bring your own? I don't know. You go into Pavilion Mall and you have your own escalator.
Well, or perhaps, you know, you don't want to get down the plane on the stairs. You bring your own escalator.
Okay.
I don't know. It's a life that is beyond me. But coming back to this investment of Saudi Aramco, Prime Minister Najib Razak said that this deal, he is actually countering claims that Malaysia will lose its sovereignty as a result of these investments. Here he is.
If we went to China, we were accused of selling our sovereignty. I wonder what they would say when Saudi Arabia invests in Malaysia. Are they going to say we sold our sovereignty to Saudi Arabia? Actually, it's not a question of sovereignty, it's a question of investment. Investment will be good for us. It brings in foreign capital, will strengthen the ringgit. It will also mean more jobs and also a strong vote of confidence in our economy.
That was Prime Minister Datuk Seri Najib Razak countering claims. What do you think? I mean, do you think that this vindicates the Chinese investments?
Well, I think he is certainly using the Saudi deal to vindicate the Chinese investments that are coming in. But I think apart from the sovereignty concerns, there are also concerns about whether a lot of these deals are priced correctly, whether there are going to be windows and conduits for corrupt practices. So at the end of the day, you and I, Melissa, and the rest of the Malaysians will have to pay for these projects in, you know, whatever, in toll charges, in rental charges, and so on. So we want greater degrees of transparency as to how a lot of these infrastructure projects are being done.
Okay, we've got the Breakfast Grill coming up just after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. Datuk Mazli Mohamad Junid, CEO of Enra Group Berhad, will be on the grill. So make sure you stay tuned right here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.